Iran's president receives a hero's welcome from some in Beirut, while others in the divided country are concerned. A visit to express support to Lebanon or a celebration of rising influence there? This is Inside Story. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Sami Zeidan. Well, Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad is in Lebanon for his first official state visit. And although he arrived in Beirut to a rapturous welcome, well, not everyone is happy, as you might imagine. The United States and Israel have already expressed concern that the visit could bolster support for Hezbollah. Ahmadinejad met his Lebanese counterpart before he sits down with Hezbollah leader Hassan Nasrallah and tours the movement's southern stronghold. Zeina Khodr visited the south of Lebanon and takes a look now at the controversial visit.
Iranian flags fly high here, but this is not Iran. It's Lebanon's border with Israel. These colors are intended to send a clear message. Iran is on the doorstep of a country it considers illegitimate and one they say has no right to exist.
This Iranian-funded park is a symbol of defiance, a replica of a military outpost with an Iranian flag overlooking Israel. South Lebanon is Hezbollah's stronghold, and there are those who say Hezbollah is Iran's proxy in Lebanon.
For people here, Iran is a friend and an ally, contributing to a number of reconstruction projects. But critics say its assistance didn't stop there. They say Iran has provided weapons to Hezbollah, a claim both deny. Many here say this suspicion will only grow stronger as Hezbollah and its supporters plan to give the Iranian president a hero's welcome during his highly controversial visit to South Lebanon.
Iran is sending a message. Lebanon through Hezbollah is part of the Syrian-Iranian alliance. This is a threat to the U.S. and Israel.
Lebanon's March 14 bloc, led by Prime Minister Saad al-Hariri, also sees this visit as a threat. While welcoming Ahmadinejad's official visit to Lebanon, the Western-backed group believes his trip to the south would be a provocation.
We are worried about Iran's anti-peace position. Iran also insists Lebanon is its base on the Mediterranean.
The extent of Iran's influence is a major issue in Lebanon, even an opportunity to strengthen ties and economic cooperation with the Islamic Republic, which has offered to invest big money here amid a recession, is not without controversy.
If Lebanon signs any weapons or oil agreements with Iran, it will be violating UN resolutions on Iran sanctions. Britain warned the government about this.
Iran says Ahmadinejad's visit aims to strengthen unity in Lebanon. However, when all is said and done, it may just do the opposite. Zeina Khodr, Al Jazeera, South Lebanon.
Well, joining us now are our guests in Tehran, Sayed Mohammad Marandi. He's the head of North American Studies at the University of Tehran. In Beirut, Alistair Crook. He's the director of the Conflicts Forum. And in Washington, D.C., Andrew Tabler. He's a fellow at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. If I could start perhaps with Mr. Marandi. Does this trip demonstrate that perhaps the country's, Lebanon's political landscape is shifting in the favor of a little bit closer to Syria and Iran?
It does seem that the mood in Lebanon is reflecting public opinion in that country. The majority of those people who actually voted in the previous elections in Lebanon were supporting the position of the resistance. And Iran's support for Lebanon, I think a strong majority of people in Lebanon recognize that it has borne fruit, because at the end of the day, southern Lebanon, which was occupied by Israel, would probably be occupied today if it wasn't for Iran's support for the Lebanese people and the resistance.
We've seen a lot of concern, though, at the same time, with some Lebanese politicians writing, expressing that concern, haven't we?
Yes, obviously. I mean, after all, there are certain political politicians in Lebanon which will always be opposed to anything that Iran does or what Hezbollah does or what the supporters of the resistance do. These people are aligned themselves to the United States and allies of the United States in the region. But I think what is significant is that the majority of the people in that country do think otherwise, and according to polls carried out by Americans recently by the Saban Center, we see that this is reflected throughout the Middle East, and throughout the Middle East, the majority of people do support Iran's position.
All right, talking about throughout the Middle East, perhaps taking the question now to Alistair Crook, we can see Ahmadinejad in Beirut, Iraq's prime minister in Damascus, despite all that earlier talk about taking Damascus to court. Is the regional influence of, perhaps we could call them the alternative axis, on the rise here?
Yes, clearly it is. I mean, clearly it has been for some time. And I think what President Ahmadinejad's visit here signals more than anything else is not a purpose to intervene in Lebanese politics other than to try and lend support to a solution if one is forthcoming to the present problems. But it reflects much more the sense that Iran is becoming a powerful, a preeminent, if you like, political player in the region. It's involved in Afghanistan in trying to find a solution. It's helping to try and find a solution in Iraq. It's working with Syria. Just as on Friday, we're going to welcome Prime Minister Erdogan here. And he will be also working, I believe, to try and find some solution in Lebanon. And what we see is these are two states that are now playing a more prominent role in the region.
All right. Andrew Tabler in Washington. The U.S. idea of isolation doesn't seem to be working on Iran, does it?
It would depend on, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily define the U.S. policy with Iran as one of isolation. There has been an attempt to reach out to Iran. Now, how effective this has been is, of course, up for debate. But I would agree with both of your guests. I think Iranian influence is increasing. I think especially in Lebanon, based on my recent trip there and reading of the political scene, I think that Iranian influence is extremely high in that of Hezbollah. And I think that this has led Washington as well as Israel to voice their concern about that.
Are some of the friends and allies of the West in Lebanon perhaps coming to the conclusion, you think, Andrew, that they can no longer really count on Western support? They've got to try and mend their fences with Damascus and Tehran.
I think that there has been an attempt to mend fences with Syria, the idea being that some resurgent Syrian influence in Lebanon would somehow come at the expense of Iranian influence or conflict with it in some way. There were many people who have bet on that, and that's also tied to peace talks with Israel. So far, though, as concerns a number of issues and probably the tribunal into the murder of Hariri is indicative of this. Syria and Iran seem to be still quite close together in efforts, political efforts, to deal with this. There has been some talk of some tension between Syria and Iran, but so far it's hard to detect political daylight in the open.
All right, talking about that tribunal, Mr. Marandi, how will this trip perhaps impact that very complicated process of tribunal, do you think?
Well, the Iranians have always believed from the start that the tribunal doesn't have any credibility. The fact that they went after Syria for years and held four generals in prison for 4 years without any evidence, and now they've turned their attention to Hezbollah, and of course you also have the false witnesses scandal.
Right, but my question is, will Ahmadinejad's trip to Beirut increase the pressure on the Lebanese prime minister to try and scale down or withdraw Lebanon's participation and support for the tribunal?
Well, I think that the Iranians would like that to happen for the sake of Lebanon, because the Iranians believe that the tribunal is completely it has no credibility. And that if Hariri and anyone in the March 14th movement pursues this avenue, it will only aggravate the situation and make increase tension in Lebanon, just as the last 4 or 5 years between Lebanon and Syria have costed both countries a lot for nothing. So the Iranians, while the Iranians believe that the tribunal will accuse members of Hezbollah, They believe that since the tribunal has no credibility, it's for the Mr. Hariri would be doing himself and the people of Lebanon good by not pursuing this the tribunal and not supporting it.
All right, Alistair Crook, when you look at the political situation in Lebanon, it's very delicate, isn't it? Looking at things as they stand, how much of a real threat could this tribunal pose to the influence of Hezbollah and Iran?
Well, I think the first thing to say about this is that contrary to much press speculation, it's no one's interest, it's in no one's interest at all to see an unstable Lebanon. I think everybody sees that, whether it's Iran or Hezbollah, Syria or Saudi Arabia, no one is looking for civil strife in Lebanon. The exceptions may lay outside of that context. Others
who
may
are the
see
exceptions
some advantage.
Are you talking about the United States?
I'm talking about Israel, principally, who obviously would like to see, if you like, a weakened Hezbollah in Lebanon. That's clear, and the United States would too like to see a weakened Hezbollah in Lebanon. But what we have seen is very clearly an axis, and an axis that is still working between Saudi Arabia and Syria, which is trying to de-escalate the tension and trying to find a solution that will satisfy the parties here.
All right,
and
let's take that point to Washington, D.C.
And I think,
sorry,
I think
Andrew Tabler now. Is the U.S. bent on pursuing this tribunal to the point of stability, of sacrificing stability in Lebanon?
American support for the tribunal, along with that of the Europeans and other regional allies, is firm. They do not want any kind of deal over that. Now, I think they are, however, open to whatever conclusion the tribunal comes up with. And I think, as some of your guests pointed out, the investigation has taken a different turn. It might turn back. But the United States is committed to the tribunal.
But
and
does,
I see no
Mr. Tower, there does seem
of,
to be a choice
that.
Here between stability and this tribunal, doesn't there, with Hezbollah, you know, making all kinds of deadlines, veiled threats, perhaps the possibility
well, yeah.
and the scenario being raised of the collapse of the government. I mean, you can't really have the tribunal and stability, can you?
Well, not as long as Hezbollah is pursuing that line. That's true. And I think that's why the United States has become quite alarmed over the last few days about that. There was some hope that Syria could step into the breach here and calm things down, as Mr. Crook talked about, and with the efforts of Saudi Arabia. I'm not sure if that process is finished, but so far we're still waiting on what kind of possible deal there could be over this, and we're all waiting to, and we hope that things in Lebanon stay stable, but it's not looking good at the moment.
All right, talking about the regional situation, Mr. Marandi, we've seen Ahmadinejad call the leaders of a number of countries ahead of this visit to Lebanon. How much of a regional appetite do you think there is for raising the stakes and the tensions over Lebanon right now?
Well, I think that's exactly what Iran is not doing. The fact that the Iranian president called the Saudi king as well as the king of Jordan before going to Lebanon, and the fact that for the first time since the assassination of Prime Minister Hariri, all of the major political players came under the same roof today, it shows that the Iranians really are trying to keep the country united. But the problem is that the United States and the EU, their policies are basically biased towards Israel, just as in the case of Gaza, where they support the strangulation of the local population and Israeli policies there. Here, they are supporting a tribunal which has no credibility in the Arab world, according to polls, and it has held people in prison for years for no reason. The false witnesses, they're not being summoned to see why and who were behind these false witnesses.
But isn't Ahmadinejad, Mr. Marandi, also sending a message by going to Lebanon of Iran's potential military reach right to the borders of Israel? It isn't all just about making things all calm and peaceful, is it?
I really don't think that's how the Iranians see it. The Iranians believe that Hezbollah's victory over Israel in the war was because of the resolve of the people of Lebanon, and the people of Lebanon stood up to an overwhelming force, power, and stood their ground. And Hezbollah, they have to be, as well as the people of Lebanon, they have to be commended for standing up to Israel. The Iranians support Lebanon, but at no point did have the Iranians called for attacks in Israel through Lebanon itself. The war a few years ago was basically initiated because the Israelis would not give up Lebanese prisoners that it had been holding for years.
All right. Alistair Crook, do you is the feeling in Beirut as well that perhaps a message is being sent by Iran that the sanctions, the measures, are not going to work? Iran has still got plenty of options in the region.
No, I don't. I don't think that's the purpose of the visit, because I think the Iranians believe that the failure of the sanctions regime is self-evident already and will certainly become plainer as time goes on. But going back to what you said, I mean, in the region, I think that what we're seeing, in fact, is a paradox again of the West misreading the map in this region and misreading the Lebanese map in particular. Because the attempt in pursuing the tribunal was originally to weaken Syria. Now it seems to be to try and undermine and hollow out Hezbollah. But in practice, who will most likely suffer and who is already becoming divided and at odds over this is the Sunni community that has been allied to the West and to America and to Europe. Because they, many of them, do not want to see this escalate to an all-out confrontation with Hezbollah or the Shia in this country. And already there are there's disquiet within that community about the direction in which the Sunni community as a whole is going. So far from actually ending up by weakening Hezbollah, this action, which is so ill-conceived, is likely, if it doesn't end up by fracturing the Lebanese politics altogether and ending up with no government here at all, is likely to cause as much damage to their own friends and colleagues, if you like, in Beirut, as it will do to Hezbollah in the south of Beirut.
All right. Andrew Tabler, how might the United States, do you think, now review its policy to the region if, in fact, it isn't working, as Mr. Crook is pointing out?
Well, that would assume that the United States has a coordinated regional policy, which I don't think it actually does. It has a number of policies, some of which deal with Iran, some of which deal with the peace process. These are the two main issues that this administration is concerned about. One of the reasons why I think that we see this decline in Lebanon and certainly the West's support for its traditional allies there is because of a lack of interest in the Levant. That might change if there is some kind of conflict or tension, whether it be from the tribunal or other issues. We had a border incident this last summer between Israel and Lebanon, all of which are of great concern. But it would be interesting to see if the Obama administration does come up with something coordinated to deal with what seems to be expanding Iranian influence.
All right, talking about the possibility of conflict that you mentioned there, Mr. Marandi, how do you think the appetite is for conflict with Iran right now? It's been said that Lebanon could be one of the frontline states in any conflict with Iran over its nuclear program. Is there much appetite for that, though?
Well, Iranians don't believe that the United States is in a position to initiate any conflict, despite the fact that the Obama regime is very misguided in its policies towards Iran, constantly threatening Iran with military strikes and even hypothetically with a nuclear strike through its nuclear posture review. Right now in Iran, for the most part, people are very pessimistic about this administration, and they now more or less see Obama like to be very similar to George Bush. But the Iranians understand that the Americans are on the decline. A relative decline because of the situation in Iraq and Afghanistan, the economic situation, and the situation in the region is also changing. Turkey is now a very different country from what it was a few years ago. And Lebanon and Syria is in a much stronger position than it was before. So time is not on the side of the Americans, and the Iranians believe
that
the Americans
is time on the side of Ahmadinejad, though. Some point out he's received a better welcome in Beirut than he does in some parts of Iran.
Well, I've never been a personal fan of the president, but there is no doubt that he is highly popular in the country, and that polls carried out by the Americans show that that he is very popular. There is a minority that dislikes him, but I think that's true in many parts of the world. But there's no denying his popularity. But I think the point is,
so this isn't a publicity stunt to boost his image at home, you don't think, the recent trips that he's been making?
Well, it is a public diplomacy move. I don't think the Iranians would consider it a stunt. After all, the United States and the Western media and Western governments have been stating that Iran is isolated, that people, that the international community is worried about Iran, yet polls show that Iran has vast support in the region, polls carried out by Americans. And the scenes from Beirut to themselves show how popular he is abroad. So I think it does have a positive effect for him in Iran. But I also think that in any case, the Iranians are not looking for confrontation, despite the fact that they don't feel that the Americans are in a strong position. But they feel that the Americans really are not yet willing to make a change in their policy and to be more reasonable to be able to move towards rapprochement.
All right, Andrew Tabler, you talked a minute ago about the perhaps confused, disorganized U.S. policy towards the Levant. How about when it comes to Iran? Sanctions simply don't seem to be working, do they? They don't seem to be slowing down Iran's nuclear drive. And if anything, China is still buying Iranian petroleum products, South Korea sidestepping them. Turkey wants to triple its $10 billion annual trade. Is it time for Washington to think of something else?
Well, I think that sanctions in itself are not going to bring the Iranian regime down. The question is, do they change their calculations? It's a little bit too early to tell that. My guess is that they probably will in some way. To what degree? There'll be some kind of review of that going forward. But again, this is the administration's attempt here is not to bring down the regime in Tehran, as far as I can tell, but rather is to affect their choices as regard their nuclear program. They might not do that in the end. After that, the question is, what does the West do then? And that is something that policymakers in Washington are debating all the time now.
They're debating it. How much consensus and debate, though, is there within the White House, Mr. Tabler?
I'm not really sure. I think that there are a number of different opinions, some of which, of course, range from military options, which are not off the table as far as we know from the administration, the whole way to a containment policy of Iran in the region. What they will choose, maybe they'll choose both, they could choose one. It'd be very interesting, and be very interesting to see what an American president decides going into a general election about 2 years from now.
All right, we'll have to leave it there. Let's thank our guests in Beirut, Alistair Crook, in Tehran, Saeed Mohammed Marandi, and in Washington, D.C., Andrew Tabler. And thank you so much for joining us here on this edition of Inside Story. As always, we welcome your comments and suggestions. Just email them to us at insidestory@aljazeera.net. For now, it's goodbye.